fall 2020 semester is finally here. Hello, everyone. I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Communications Director, and thanks for tuning in to the award-winning Tennessee Tech Today Show. Students are back on campus, and classes officially begin on Monday. But before the first student steps foot inside a classroom, a lot of planning and preparing has been going on from a safety and an academic perspective. Classes this semester will have a different look, and to tell us about the academic side of the fall 2020 semester is Tennessee Tech's Chief Academic Officer, Provost Lori Bruce. Provost Bruce, I know this is a semester that is different probably than anyone you've ever been a part of. How do you get ready academically for a COVID-19 semester after being online to finish up the spring and part of the summer?
Well, it's a challenge, that's for sure, but it's also exciting because we're getting to explore a lot of different, I would say, modalities of delivering our courses that in the past we may have experimented with, and well, we're taking them to full operations. So it's a little daunting, but very exciting. And the main thing is we just want to keep our students at the center of every single thing we do. Mm-hmm. Challenge our students, drive them toward excellence, and then provide them with the resources and infrastructure to be successful. As long as we stay focused on that, I think we can weather just about anything.
Back in the spring, there was a two-week turnaround of trying to get everybody ready to go online. And I know you and your office have been planning on that and really had some things implemented there that that made that possible. Now you've had some time to kind of get things ready for a lot more in-person instruction, kind of getting back to the way, you know, Tennessee Tech is to begin with. What are some of the things that you've had to deal with or that you've had to prepare maybe the faculty for or your office for?
Well, one thing is just thinking about which courses are best for in-person, mm-hmm. which courses are best for online, and then which courses are best for kind of a highly flexible mix of both. Mm-hmm. And part of that is just thinking about, you know, making sure that we provide the students with a lot of options and not, you know, take all our courses online or all in person, because every student I talk to has kind of a different desire. So making sure we offer a wide variety of delivery modalities. Mm-hmm. And then for the ones that are online, making sure that we're delivering those things in ways that are the most effective for the students. We had faculty go through a lot of training in the spring and a lot of additional training over the summer of learning new technologies, new software tools, because now we had at least a little bit of time to plan.
Right.
And then for the in-person classes, thinking about social distancing, wearing face coverings, how do we ensure that all of those students that are in person are really kept safe and healthy? So we had a task force we had five task forces with about 70 faculty and students and staff on these task forces. And they looked at everything from which door to enter the room and which door to exit to exactly which chairs to put people in so that we have more than 6 feet between every student in the class. Mm-hmm. Sometimes installing plexiglass shields in front of the speaker, sometimes installing plexiglass shields between workstations. So, for example, if we're in a chemistry lab, mm-hmm. we would normally have partners and two person per station. Well, now we have one person per station,
right.
And we have plexiglass in between the stations. So a lot of planning and just logistical implementation over the summer to ensure that we can still have in-person instruction, but do it in a safe and healthy way.
Yeah, and I know, you know, sometimes adversity brings a lot of challenges, but it seems like, you know, some of the good things that have come out of this is learning new methods, learning how to deal with this, being able to go online if you need to, and really just preparing the faculty for different scenarios.
Yes, and preparing our students for a life in a job that might require them to work remotely.
That's a good point, yeah.
You know, many high-tech jobs
yeah.
are kind of telecommuting jobs. They may even still go to an office, mm-hmm. but they have international partners that they're doing Microsoft Teams meetings with, and they're managing projects virtually and remotely, or they're having Zoom meetings with their boss who happens to be in another state.
Right.
A lot of high-tech jobs are that way.
Yeah.
And I think this has if there's any silver lining, yeah. at least it's pushed us to better prepare our students mm-hmm. for that kind of workforce and work life, and they get a taste of it while they're still in college.
Yeah. Is there anything that, and I know there's going to be things pop up. There's, you know, this is a learning curve, you know, that happens every day. and I'm sure even with some of the best laid plans, there'll be things that'll come up that you haven't thought about. But at this point, I mean, you feel like, I mean, academically, we're as ready to go as we can be.
I am cautiously optimistic, and you know, and things won't be perfect. I have said that to the faculty. Things won't be perfect, and we just need to have a lot of grace this fall. Mm-hmm. We need to show ourselves grace. We need to show our colleagues grace, and most importantly, we need to show our students grace. But when things go awry, it won't be for lack of planning and preparation. I can promise you that. I've just been so impressed with the faculty, the department chairs, the deans. They have worked so diligently all summer mm-hmm. to really have everything laid out so that they're agile and flexible. Mm-hmm. So if whatever happens, there's a plan A, there's a plan B, there's a plan C, there's yeah. a plan K.
Yeah.
and to just really to make sure that we're as prepared as we possibly can and ensure that we give the students the very best learning experience that we can.
Yeah. If you had to, you know, guess or look at some of the numbers, how many do you think realistically we have in person, online, you know, there's the different types of classes. Kind of how does that break down?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've monitored that almost on a daily basis over the summer. And, you know, as of yesterday, we had at the undergraduate, so I'm talking about undergraduate
sure.
courses right now, we had about 2,000 courses that are ready to rock and roll come Monday. And about 6%, so about a quarter of those courses are either fully online or predominantly online.
Okay. Yeah.
And then about a third are highly flexible mix of online and in-person activities.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 40%, a little more than 40%, are either fully in-person or predominantly in-person.
Right.
Now, the in-person courses, we are also have installed HD cameras and are still installing them.
It's a process.
Yes, it's a process. But we're installing those cameras in the classrooms so that when we have an in-person lecture and course, we can capture that in video and stream it to a student who might not be able to be there.
Sure.
So thinking about the potential for high absenteeism this fall,
right?
Maybe someone knows their friend tested positive, so now they need to isolate for 14 days. You know,
right.
They may be able to still keep up with their class, mm-hmm. but then make sure they're staying in their apartment or in their room and isolating just to ensure that everybody stays safe and healthy. So we're thinking about high rates of absenteeism, potentially, hopefully
right.
not,
yeah.
but potentially this fall, and really putting into place a lot of technology and software tools so the student can just keep up with the class and keep going,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't negatively impact them as much as it could.
Okay. Anything else you want to add?
I just want to really commend ITS on campus and the Center for Innovative Teaching and Learning. They have partnered and they have made strides that I just would never have thought possible in this amount of time. And so everything from making sure we have laptops to check out to students who need them,
mm-hmm.
to making sure every faculty member has the right tools in case they need to teach online, just really diligent work. And I personally can't thank them enough. They've really knocked it out of the park all summer. And so because of that, I think the students it'll be different, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And there'll be this weird mix of online and in person for virtually every student.
Right.
But in the end, I think that'll help us grow.
Mm-hmm.
It'll help us stretch ourselves and actually help, like I said, help the students for a very virtual workforce that is the 21st century workforce.
Thanks, Provost Bruce. When we come back, we will talk with Rob Owens, the Vice President of Student Affairs. Stay with us.
More Tennesseans are turning to the state's best public university, Tennessee Tech. Tech produces bold, fearless, confident graduates who get an outstanding return on investment, who graduate with the least amount of debt in the South, who earn higher early career salaries. Tennessee Tech, just like our state, is soaring to greater heights. Tech is Tennessee. To find out more, visit tntech.edu/techistn.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Communications Director. Well, we heard from Provost Lori Bruce on what classes will look like this semester. What will campus look like for students? To tell us more about that is Rob Owens, Assistant Vice President for Student Affairs.
All right, Rob, the semester is starting. This one looks a little bit different than the semesters in the past.
Yes, it does. It's a very unique semester for a number of reasons. Many of which, if not all of those reasons, have to do with COVID-19.
Yeah.
As I said in a video that a lot of students will see the end of this week, going into next week, there's a lot of unknown, obviously, which makes this very different. We normally know, okay, you know, we're having a great move-in day on this particular Thursday.
Right.
We're going to have what we call on campus dancing on Dixie, mm-hmm. convocation and those things. Football, for example, you know, football games and volleyball games. And, you know, we're not doing some of those things. And then some of what is going to happen we don't know about. But there's an excitement that comes with it,
mm-hmm.
too, that I'm kind of intrigued by.
Yeah.
To be quite honest with you.
Well, students have been moving in all week instead of great move-in day. Yeah. You know, they've taken 4 or 5 days to get moved into the residence halls.
Right.
Just talk a little bit about, you know, that process and what are you seeing, you know, from the residence halls and hearing from the RAs and even some of the students.
I think that process has gone very well, Buddy. And I to be quite honest with you, the ability to slowly bring in students to campus, mm-hmm. that are in the residence halls in Tech Village has really, I think that's helped the whole campus community sort of embrace the students a lot better than if we had a great move-in day and we have 1,000, 1,500 students move in on that
right.
one day.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, our campus, our facilities, our employees we've not felt the full campus in months.
Yeah.
And so to have a quick injection like what it normally would have been, in and of itself would have been interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about the protocols that we have in place from the CDC and the State Department of Health, it really has also made a lot of sense in that way to slowly bring in people. Residential life, Josh Edmonds, our director in that area, all of our hall directors and assistant directors and student RAs, the RAs that are students, done a phenomenal job. They've talked about how much smoother
mm-hmm.
this process has been. It gives them an opportunity to engage with families as students are moving in ways that they normally would not have.
Right.
And I tell you, you know, another unexpected byproduct of the slow sort of introduction to students to the residence halls has been the parking.
Mm-hmm.
You've been around here a long time, buddy. Great move-in day, as well coordinated as it has become,
right.
Does put a strain on campus in terms of parking and traffic.
Oh, yeah.
Well, other than the issues in Capitol Quad, we've had some move-in issues over there because we've got a lot of construction there.
Right, yeah.
With renovations and with the new science complex. Other than that, on Thursday, it's been a lot smoother because we've had a nice steady pace
yeah.
of people coming back to campus.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you stepped in as the interim vice president of student affairs for Mark Burnett, had you have known then what you were getting into, how does that look for you?
Mark, you know, I know many people listening in will know something about Mark if they don't know him. And such a big personality and a great man, and really had been a great individual on our campus, great leader. Had occupied the VP position for decades. Big shoes to fill, but I mess with Mark. He and our friends, and we still talk, obviously.
Right.
And it's almost like, I say Mark's a man of faith. It's almost like he had special line in.
Divine intervention.
That said, hey, you need to retire in December of 2019 because in January, the COVID is coming. But no, man, it's kind of funny because, you know, we've had a number of long tenured folks, in a couple in student affairs actually, that have left, you know, within the last year or 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And all those guys, I want to say, hey, man, y'all left just like 6 months or a year too early.
Yeah.
But I believe I've been well prepared to be in this role. I love our institution and know it well.
Yeah.
And know what it should look like. And I think that helps me navigate because I know what the tech experience is,
mm-hmm.
as a student, and you know, so I know that baseline and I know what our target is.
Yeah.
You know, I think being I wasn't a student athlete here, but I've been an athlete. You know, I was an athlete all up through high school and do a lot of coaching still now. That athletic mindset has really been helpful in this process. You know, there's always a goal in mind, and you know, to get to that goal, you're gonna have some hard times and mm-hmm. some rough patches. There are gonna be some unexpected things that'll happen, and then, you know, that folks know, you might, as an athlete, you might turn an ankle. Well, you didn't anticipate turning an ankle.
Right.
You might strain a knee, mm-hmm. you might break a finger. You didn't anticipate that.
Right.
And you don't quit the sport just because that thing happens.
Right.
You rehab, you work through that, still focus on that end. And so I take that mindset, mm-hmm. You know, I've had that mindset my whole life. I've taken it, you know, going all the way back to January 2020, you know, first day of the job, I get hit with some major issues. 2 weeks later, we think we have our first case on campus, and so we're galvanizing, and I'm right in the middle of that.
Right.
February comes, and then I just still get emotional about this. Then March 2nd comes, and we had that tornado. And then 2 weeks later, COVID-19 really begins to take hold.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, man, I've got an opportunity to serve. These are just rough times, but there's an end in mind, and that end in mind is – having a sense of normalcy when we get past this,
mm-hmm.
and having goal of increasing our enrollment and becoming a flagship institution in the Southeast. So my eyes just stay on the target, man, and I just keep working, keep pushing on. Mess with Mark Burnett when I see him, tell him, you knew this was going to happen. You got out of here.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, yeah, I love the opportunity, man. It's hard some days. It's been hard to not have our students on campus and to see colleagues and people that work in my division and people that work in other divisions working 12, 13 hours that people don't know.
Right.
That people off campus, students don't know what we've been doing to try to make sure that we can come back.
And that was my next point was,
yes,
talk a little bit about that preparation because, you know, like an athlete or like a team that has to prepare for the season, all the preparation, especially in student affairs, that's been going on for the summer, just so students can come back and classes can begin on campus on Monday.
It's amazing. I'll go all the way back to January when COVID-19 first reared its ugly head.
Right.
The way that folks in student affairs, particularly in housing and health services, you know, in the president's cabinet, Chief of Staff Lee Ray, we jumped on that, and work hours went out the window. I mean, we're having called meetings. We're working almost around the clock. And it's been that way with each of the challenges that have come. It was that way when we were preparing to shut down, scale down back in the spring. It's been that way literally all summer. Even when the campus was literally empty, there were still individuals that were on this campus. It was ground zero for some of us.
Right.
You know, university police is one of my areas. They never left. Health services, Leanne Ray and her folks, the hours that they've worked since the spring and over the summer to prepare and get ready, innumerable hours. The same way with Josh Edmonds. It was ground zero, never left. And so it's been really cool to watch us come together as a campus. You know, and I commend student affairs folks. You know, I'll throw something else out there at you. We're opening the Mark L. Burnett Student Recreation Center.
Yeah.
That we're calling the Burn. Well, we're opening that in the midst of all of this that's going on.
Right.
You know, so, you know, David Mullinax and his team.
Yeah.
Working through COVID-19 and figuring out how to close out the old building.
Right.
And then open up a facility that's, you know, three times its size.
Yeah.
It's just been amazing to watch our student affairs team come together. You know, I mean, the list goes on and on. Dr. Chester Gold in the Accessible Education Center and trying to make sure that this transition to the face coverings and all of those things, that we're prepared to accommodate our students with disabilities and also to help faculty do what they need to do to accommodate those students.
Right.
Dr. Katie Williams and Dean of Students Office and all our folks with student activities. You know, we've not been sitting twiddling our thumbs all summer waiting for students to come back. We've been working diligently to have them back, have them feel comfortable, and then make it safe.
Yeah.
Not only for their physical health, but also make sure that we can figure out ways for them to have the activities that they're used to having, events and those things, and try to have a good time while they're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, fall 2020 is happening. It's classes start Monday. Is there anything else you want to add as far as the semester goes?
Well, I just encouragement to anyone that's listening to embrace our students being back in mass on campus, to be an encouragement to our students, be an encouragement to folks that work here. It's a very tense time, as we shared a little bit earlier before we got on the air here. You know, it's an easy time to be at odds, whether it's across racial lines or whether it's, you know, when you think about businesses closing and people losing jobs and economy and political season that we're in. It's a very tense time. But I'm just convinced that we live in a very special Cookeville community, very special place, and this campus is located in that city.
Right.
Buddy, there's only one Cookeville, Tennessee.
That's it.
There's not another one on the face of the earth. You Google Cookeville, it's this place right here.
Yeah.
And I believe it's very special. And I believe part of that special it factor that we have in Cookeville is the family atmosphere that we have. Mm-hmm. If we can just love on each other, love on Tennessee Tech, Tech love on Cookeville, I believe we're going to have a 2020 to remember in a good way.
Yeah.
Because it's been rough. It's been a rough 8 months.
Yeah.
I think the best is yet to come. I do.
Great. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah. Enjoyed it, man. Thank you.
When the world is moving this fast, boldness is rewarded. At Tennessee Tech, we help you find your bold. We'll help you turn it into a career-ready education. That's Tennessee Tech. Bold futures begin here. tntech.edu/visit.
There will be no varsity sports at Tennessee Tech this fall. That heartbreaking revelation came last week when the Ohio Valley Conference Board of Presidents announced fall competition and championships in the sports of football, men's and women's cross country, women's soccer, and women's volleyball are postponed due to the concerns and uncertainty surrounding the COVID-19 pandemic. The decision included the fall competitive schedules for men's and women's golf and men's and women's tennis, as well as the non-traditional competition seasons for baseball and softball. In making its determination, the board asked the conference membership to develop plans for conference competition and championships in the spring semester for the impacted sports. OVC Commissioner Beth DeBusch said, after careful deliberation, weighing all the factors as presented, and given the current uncertainty surrounding the COVID-19 pandemic, the OVC Board of Presidents voted to postpone the conference's fall sports to spring. DeBusch further stated, with the focus on student athletes, the conference leaders made this value-based decision with a commitment to continue to monitor the evolving situation and to strive to establish meaningful competitive opportunities in the spring for our fall sport student athletes. While we understand there are many student athletes, families, and communities that are disappointed by the lack of conference competition this fall, and we deeply share that disappointment, it is the OVC's ardent intention to ensure seasons postponed are not seasons canceled if the facts support it. The plans to play scheduled winter and spring sports remain unaffected at this time. In conjunction with the decision-making process of the OVC Board of Presidents, Tennessee Tech will not play any non-conference football games this year. My heart breaks for the student athletes that plan to compete this fall, said Tennessee Tech Director of Athletics Mark Wilson. We know changes like this impact our student athletes, and we'll be working with each of them to meet their individual needs. Well, that's going to wrap up Tennessee Tech Today for this week. Be sure to check out the T2 website at tntech.edu or check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next week's show, be bold, fearless, confident, and kind. Wings up, everybody.